too much of it for too long. Okay. It's one of those last shall be first. Over there. Okay. Anyone else with floor space around them that we haven't identified? And there's a couple of spots there as well. Now, I know that my voice can drop. If for any reason you can't hear me, can you please put your hand up so that I can adjust my own volume? And I know the clever guys over there at the desk will be doing, keeping watch on the levels. Right. Welcome. We do have 150 copies of a summary of today's workshop. Okay? So don't feel that you need to write down or that you're going to miss out if some pearl of wisdom that might happen to come through my mind or brain, you can't retain it in yours. There are things here for you to look at. And I'll also give you my email address at the end so that if you have questions or want to clarify anything, you're free to do that. But wait until I'm back in New Zealand to expect a response. Okay, it won't happen instantly. Please come on right through. A couple more over here. There's a chair behind me. In fact, if I come up on the stage, it creates more space down here, doesn't it? Okay. Just got a few more. Would you like to come right to the front, please, down here? Okay, let's get underway. We're going to begin just with a moment's silence. Surprise, surprise. But very short, just to allow ourselves to be here, because we've all come from something else, and it takes a while for us just to settle. So just take that time. We're going to have half a minute, just to accustom you to what half a minute silence feels like. Okay, I'm going to count quietly in my mind to 30. So you don't have to count. Okay, half a minute of just being still. Okay, already you will have possibly realized that there are other things going on in your head and noises off which may get into your mind. Please do come in and settle on the space, the floor on here, rather than out in the corridor. Do come in, please. Oh, aren't you? Oh, we've got a venue maximum capacity. Okay, right. Okay. Now, for those of you who might have seen publicity about this on the Greenbelt website, I promised a story about a cat to begin. You might be wondering how on earth a cat and contemplation can exist on the same page. We got a cat It's what you'd call a rescue cat. She came from the SPCA, and originally her name, rather unfortunately, was Viper. We had her for a week or two and realized why, because she was a bit apt to wriggle when you tried to pick her up. Her tail was constantly lashing, and she was not a very contented, quiet cat. I had my mind on a cat that would sit on my knee. One day I was sitting in my quiet space, and was trying yet again to hold Toffee long enough for her to sit down and be still and for her tail to relax. And we managed 30 seconds, the amount of time you've just spent being still. And then she was off. And God said to me, "You can be just like Toffee. You never sit still long enough to be loved." And that's the question. Do you sit still long enough for God to love you? You may just take that question away, and if it's the only thing you take away from today, then I'll be happy. Because it's a question that keeps on coming up for all of us, no matter how long we've been on our spiritual walk, no matter how experienced we are in all sorts of prayer, that question remains. Do we sit still long enough for God to love us? Traditionally, sitting still in our culture is often frowned upon. The devil makes work for idle hands. You heard that one in your psyche? Many of us feel guilty if we're not doing anything or producing anything. And those of us who have parented know that it's unlikely we get any time to be still unless it's with a small child attached to our leg. And it's not easy at all. However, what I'm going to invite you to be considering is, where are the natural moments in your day when being still, being quiet, can be a possibility, even if you begin with just 5 minutes in one day? It's a start. Can I just check that we don't have cell phones ringing? If any of you have not switched them to the off position, can you please do so? And I'll do the same. That's better. Although some of you may find it hard to see this, I'm holding up a glass of water. If you can imagine, this glass has a handful of sand dropped into it. What will happen? Over time, as it stays still without movement, that is without earthquakes from where I come from, the sand will gradually settle and the rest of the water will become clear. Just a very basic example. But it's a bit like that with our minds, that we're busy, we have very full lives, we have all sorts of technology, which can be a good thing, but can also minimize the time available for us just to be with ourselves and with God. So the next time you get a drink of water, remind yourself of its stillness, the capacity to nourish through clarity, and the way we can be fed spiritually by the very ordinary things of life, the absolutely ordinary things of life. We don't have to go across the world on pilgrimage. We don't have to read lots of very complicated books. We don't have to do anything but sit still long enough for God to love us. On this tablet, which I'm just learning how to drive, at the moment all you can see is a blank space. And some people are a bit scared of not doing anything, sitting with no agenda, just sitting still. They're worried about what might happen or what might not happen. They worry about what they ought to be doing or ought not to be doing. When you come to God in contemplative prayer, you are coming simply to be present, to turn up, like you've all turned up today. That's all you have to do, is turn up. Because God is waiting for each one of us. And isn't that an amazing truth? All the people in the world, every single one, God is just waiting. Some of you may have been to St. Paul's Cathedral and seen Holman Hunt's painting, The Light of the World. The knocking on the door, the waiting for the opening. And contemplative prayer is about opening the door. We don't have to do anything else. We don't have to try hard. We don't have to worry. We don't have to judge our performance. We simply turn up, open the door. Okay, into a few little formal things. Just to clarify a couple of terms, really. In the last 40 years, just a little bit of history about how we can fill a room like this, this size, with people who want more of God through contemplative prayer. Probably wouldn't have happened 40 years ago, but over this period, the Christian contemplative path has been gathering momentum again. It's being rediscovered by different generations. Many people would have searched in the Eastern religions for a contemplative or meditative experience without realizing that there is one in the Christian tradition. So the contemplative prayer path is about silence and listening and being. It also, and this is really important, helps us understand the dynamic relationship between contemplation and action. Some people think or have said perhaps if you are too contemplative, you spend all your life in prayer, you're no good to anybody, right? You know, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly use. I'm sure you've heard that expression. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you spend time in contemplative prayer, listening and still before God, you're getting closer to God's heart. You're going to be able to discern God's call to service in your particular context. You're going to be able to listen to those around you, your family, your friends, your colleagues at work, the people you teach at school, whatever your role. You're going to be enabled and empowered for whatever the day brings. So it isn't an either or. One complements the other. Contemplation and action belong together. Just a word about the use of the word meditation. As it's used in scripture, we often see the psalmist, for example, using the word meditation to mean, I will meditate on your word. I will mull over the text. I will turn it around in my mind, make connections for my life, be guided by it, and so on. So meditation in that context is how the word is often used in scripture. Contemplation is a state of heartfelt, wordless being with God. being available in silence to God. And that enables the Holy Spirit to work deeply and directly with you, spirit to spirit. It means that we set aside all the distractions of words and language, rationality, all those sort of things that our culture over the last 800 years in particular has been so focused on, and instead lets us just simply be. When Jesus talks about coming to him as a little child, those of you who had recent experience with small children know that they do have the capacity to contemplate. And this is another way of looking at contemplation that we'll come back to at the end if we have time. And that is being able to take a long, loving look at the real. Walter Burghardt coined that phrase, a long, loving look at the real. If you have a contemplative stance to life, you can listen to your life and you can listen for God's word and prompt and guidance anywhere, anytime. Traditionally, in the first 1,000 years perhaps of Christianity, particularly since Cassian and the desert fathers and mothers and the monastic tradition, the primary vehicle for contemplation was Lectio Divina, the praying with a portion of scripture. Now, some of you may be really familiar with this already. Some of you may discover that you recognize the pattern from other practices, but I'm just going to read the pattern through so you see the flow. Don't worry that I'm going to present it in a linear form. It tends to be a bit like an up and down, back and forth. So the four stages, which as I say can be back and forth, are first of all lectio, reading. A super slow reading of a very small amount of scripture. We have our lectionary, and there are anything up to a dozen readings for a day. And that has a place, of course, because it builds our vocabulary of scripture, builds our familiarity with scripture. But lectio is praying with a portion of scripture. Meditatio, the second stage, lectio meditatio, meditation, means pondering a word or phrase, mulling it over, letting it roll around in your mouth like a boiled sweet until something emerges that is personally relevant. It fits your context. It makes sense to your life. Oratio, O-R-A-T-I-O, if my accent is a bit difficult. Oratio. Speaking, the oratory you find in castles and churches, the place we go to pray. Talking to God or dancing to God or playing with God, doodling with God, painting, expressing something of what you are feeling to God. And then contemplatio, resting in God. Now, that's the bit that's got dropped off in the last, since 1200 or so. People do the first three, right? You read scripture, you reflect on it, and then you pray. And then you go away and do something else. But the key to the deepening of your experience of prayer and the key to opening yourself up to God loving you is sitting still at the end of those other three and allowing the peace of God to be with you. So, let us try. Can you please make yourselves as comfortable as the space limitations allow? Ideally, lectio or any meditation practice or contemplation practice is done with a straight back. There are walls, sort of. There's a couple of... No, there aren't really, are there? No. There's not much in the way of wall space. So you may be a bit limited, but do the best you can. What I'm going to do is read... Oh, sorry. I thought it didn't need my password, but it does. So while you get yourself sorted, I'll just quickly put my password in. Oh, I have to do it from memory in a minute. There we go. I'm going to use three verses from Psalm 40. That's all, just three verses. And what I'm going to do is read them through three times, very slowly. Listen for a word or a phrase that seems to connect with you. But don't worry if nothing does. Okay, don't worry. Just, we're not into performance or achievement or having to meet a grade, or having to do anything. It's simply putting yourself in the presence of God through the word, through a psalm. You can also do this with a sacred text, which could be a poem. It could be a tree, where you sit with and let it speak to you. However, we're going to use Psalm 40, three verses. As I read it through, listen as much as you can. Be as open as you can. If something does connect with you, then just tune out my voice for the rest of the repetition. And then I'm going to give you time for the second stage of Lectio, which is meditation, meditatio. You're going to just mull things over a little bit. See what comes or doesn't come. Just let yourself be with the text. Then you're going to have a bit of time to respond to God. Now you might say, oh God, this is awful. I couldn't get settled. I was too conscious of people all around me. Nothing happened. Nothing flashed lights for me. What are you doing? You're talking to God. You're communicating with God. You're sharing your experience. You're sharing your feelings. You're sharing your truth. And that is prayer. You start where you are. The present moment. Start where you are. Okay, so here we go. So you've got it. Listen. Reflect, pray, and then rest. I'm going to give you a reasonable chunk of time. I'm probably going to talk about 12 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes here, so we have time for another exercise. Okay. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction and made my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Second reading, Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song
in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And the final reading. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Mull that over, respond in prayer, and then rest in God. Okay, just very gently open your eyes when you're ready. And as you're doing so, just invite you to reflect on anything you noticed about that experience and any question that might come to mind as a result of that practice. We do have a handheld microphone, which... What's your name again, sorry? Martin. Mark? Matt. Oh, I should know, that's my son's name, Matt. Sorry. So Matt's going to wander around, thread his way through the feet. If there's any question that's come to mind, there's a very obvious one that's in my mind, which may be in yours as well, but we'll see if it emerges from the group. Okay? Right, any questions? Down here, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to ask what happens in the final part of the exercise, in the contemplation part, if thoughts and words come into that part?
That's a really good question. The D word, distraction. obviously, we have music, which could easily be a distraction. Is that a question? How many of you had the same question? A number of you? Okay, so that's one that we need to address. There are different schools of thought about distractions. Where I've come to in my own practice is that I have a piece of paper and a pen handy, and if there's something that comes into my mind which I think has emerged because it needs attention, I will jot it down and put away the pen. That way it's there. I don't have to think about it again until the end of the prayer practice. Some people will talk about imagining yourself, for example, by a stream, and a distraction could be considered to be a leaf floating down the stream and you just let it float on by. But if my thinking on that is that if we're going to be looking at leaves on a stream, we're being distracted by the distraction. You see what I mean? So while for some people that may work, I would suggest that, okay, you can notice the distraction and then you just let it go. Some people like to imagine a balloon being released or fog evaporating. Do what works for you. The main thing is you don't give it attention. Or if you do give it attention, it's minimal, and then you return to just being still. There are ways of being still, which I'm going to go into shortly. But are there any other questions that emerged for you? Anyone else over there, lady in the row there? Thank you.
What happens if you're somebody who just goes to sleep every time they sit quietly? I think that happened to me, and I don't know how long I've slept for.
That's all right.
I hope I wasn't snoring.
No, nobody heard.
But I suddenly woke up and found all these people here.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid when I sit quietly, I sleep. So I didn't do much active.
Okay. That's a real issue. There are a number of factors there. You may just be so tired you need the sleep, in which case you're resting in God in a different state rather than active contemplation where you are alert, you're just asleep. And we know that God gives good gifts to his children while they sleep. Part of it is posture, and that's why the sitting posture, the alert sitting posture is really important, and that's having the back straight. If necessary with support for comfort, particularly if you have back trouble or pain, because what we're doing is showing that we are alert and aware and open for God. We're not, lolling around. We're actively doing something here. It's not a passive thing at all. We are putting ourselves at God's disposal. We are willing for God to be active in our life, and we show this by our posture. That's another reason why, although I know some of you are lying down and you probably need to because you may have had broken nights, but lying down For some people it will work, but for most people it sends them to sleep. So we choose a posture that is something we don't normally use. Does that make sense? Okay, anything else? Time for one more question before we practice. Oh, over there as well in the green. Thank you. Come back to you in a minute. Thank you for coming forward.
It's just related to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the last phase, and obviously there are lots of unresolved things in our minds, like we need to kind of get, you know, I'll have an argument with a family member, for example.
Yes.
Can we afford to extend the peace that we're in at that time to it, or do you tend to shut anything else other than just us with the Lord, as if everything was all wonderful? Do you know what I mean? I don't know whether to be in denial about it,
yeah,
or whether I can afford to just breathe, extend the peace while I'm in the peace mode.
Absolutely, yeah. It's what you feel you're being drawn to do. Of course, this does not replace intercessory prayer. It doesn't replace praise and worship. It's a different form of praise and worship because it's silent, but it doesn't stop you from still singing to God or whatever else you like to do. So it's not a replacement. It complements other forms of prayer. And if, for example, in your situation, if a person's name or the situation keeps coming and doesn't respond to the brief note method, then it's probably a signal to just say to God, okay, I'm going to sit with you for this time, and I'm going to sit with them with you so that you hold them in that peace. Okay, there's one question there. You're right? Okay, just conscious of our venue and time factors.
Can I stand up and shake your
hand? Absolutely. If anybody does need to do whatever you need to do, please do so. That's okay. Well, just take care. You've got a few obstacles there. That's right. Hey, hang on. Do I take that with you? Okay, it's fine. Okay, so we're going to move into another way of entering contemplative prayer. There is, I notice in the program, I think it's tomorrow, a session put on by the World Community of Contemplative Prayer. Some of you might know of that community. There are two current forms of contemplative prayer that have been gaining momentum, and there's been active teaching. And I'm not going to go into the benefits or otherwise of either forms. The two resources that you can use where we are putting ourselves at God's disposal as an act of worship in silence. Both of these involves surrendering to God's presence and giving to God as much of our attention as we can. So the two resources are the World Community of Christian Meditation, WCCM, which has been founded and developed by Lawrence Freeman and John Main. They will give you a way of entering into contemplation, even though they call it meditation, okay? It's just the same thing. It's a silent reflection. So they're using the word meditation not for the mulling around of the thoughts, but for contemplative prayer. And they'll give you a method of doing that. The other main resource is centering prayer, and that's been developed by Father Thomas Keating and Anglican priest Cynthia Bourgeot from Canada. And this is the prayer that emerges naturally from Lectio, gives you a way of sustaining that last phase, if you like. And it also allows you to enter into a contemplative prayer practice separate from Lectio Divina. So that could happen at another time of the day, for example. They would suggest 2 20-minute periods of contemplative prayer a day. I struggle to maintain 2. One is pretty okay, but the second one later in the day tends to get swamped by other stuff. So
what I'm going to do now is to give you the chance to just practice that. And all we're doing with both WCCM and Centering Prayer, they use an anchor word or phrase. WCCM often use Maranatha, Lord come, and that is repeated all the time, like a subtext sort of running through your mind to help you stay with. Some people may be a bit anxious about that sort of repetition. You may be worried that you're entering into an Eastern practice with a mantra. Always it's about your heart's intention. Who are you welcoming in? You're welcoming in the Christ. You're welcoming in the light. You're welcoming in God. You're welcoming in the eternal lover, however you want to name God. So you're welcoming that love. And so you can ask the Holy Spirit to give you a word that is right for you. My current word is abide, because for me that's about being, about staying connected, about being still, about intention. But you can use any word that has a special spiritual meaning for you. You can use Jesus, you can use Abba, you can use Aroha, which is Māori for love. Use a word from your own mother tongue, if English is not your first language. Use something that touches your heart. So all you do, which sounds easy, is to sit and quieten yourself, sitting again in a nice upright posture. Those of you who've been lying down, can I invite you to just try the sitting posture? We're only going to do this for probably 5 minutes, just to give you a little bit of a taste of it. The key to centering prayer is it is about release, about letting go. And the principle is that if you are in centering prayer, you're still before God, you have your anchor word, which helps you to stay connected, and it can just gently roll over and may just become quieter and quieter and quieter. Whenever a distraction comes in, you simply return to your anchor word. And that Keating is really very encouraging, because he says, if you have 50 times in your 20 minutes, perhaps more like 100 times, when you are distracted and you think of something else, then you have 50 opportunities to turn back to God. And I think that's enormously encouraging. So all the time, don't beat yourself up about your success or lack of it. That isn't the point at all. It's simply you are choosing to be with God. So given that we have musical accompaniment again, we'll still give it a go for 5 minutes, just to let yourself get the hang of what it might be like to pray in this way, where you haven't got that stimulation of the pattern of Lectio. You're simply just going into it almost cold, but you've been warmed up. You're going into it, you're going to sit, you're going to still your mind as far as you can, let your breathing be regular, and ask God to give you a word. It may be something that came out of the psalm that you feel you connect with. It may simply be a special word that you have for your God. So just try that now. We're going to have it for 5 minutes. That's all the time we can allocate, and just see how you get on. Every time you're distracted, turn back. It's like, oops, back on track. Okay, off you go, back on track. And it doesn't matter how often that happens. Okay. Okay, sorry to stop you if you are in mid-contemplation. What you will find is that you may not feel anything in particular during your period of contemplation. But we're not doing this in order to have a spiritual experience. We're doing this in order to be with God and to show God our intention of being open to God's work in our life directly, spirit to spirit. So it isn't about us. It isn't about achieving. It's simply about being open. What I've discovered in my practice, which is patchy still at times, so I'm speaking not as an expert, but as a, not quite a rank beginner, but a bit sort of, you know, further on, is that something changes inside when you do this. And there you are more open to God working with you and walking with you through the day, or your awareness of God's presence during the day. There's a sense of peace which may come, you know, several hours later. There may even be a physical lightening which can surprise you. But that's not the point. The whole thing is that we give God our worship in silence and stillness and being. Keating would say that God's primary language is silence. That's something for you to chew over. But it's an inhabited silence when we're silent together, inhabited by God, by that Spirit, which is within each one of us and working with us. If we are able to do this practice, we build up the capacity to approach life from a contemplative stance so that anything at all God can use to reach you at any time. Just a little story. I was at a two-day retreat outside on this morning of the second day, and I noticed a sparrow in a puddle. Just an ordinary sparrow in an ordinary puddle. But through it, as I allowed myself to just be with and be present to that sparrow, it was like God was saying, that sparrow did not get up this morning and say, okay, at 11.05 a.m., I'm going to locate this particular puddle and have a bath. The puddle was there, and the sparrow enjoyed it. And this message, if you like, came at a time when I was wondering about how to resource myself in a busy ministry that takes all my energy, and that's working with the elderly. How am I going to resource myself sufficiently to keep writing? And what God was saying was, just trust me, the resourcing will be there. All you have to do is use it, enjoy it. You don't have to plan it, it'll be there. And that's the truth, it's how it is. So God can use anything, sparrows and puddles, music out of the window, you know, whatever, to reach us. So just to summarize then, so that I feel as if I have brought things to a close, starts and finishes are always the tricky bits. The middle sort of goes. So I want to just summarize very briefly. Okay. You may have come across this reference before. One of the simplest forms of description of contemplative prayer is a story from Jean Vianney of an old man who came daily to a church in France. And he would just sit and look. And when his priest asked him what he was doing, should have just left him alone really, but anyway, he asked him what he was doing, and the old man replied, "I look at him and he looks at me."
Think of the day when you met your beloved. Or if you've got teenage children, when they meet their beloved. And if you can get the texts out of their hands. What we do when we meet someone we love is we just like to look at them, you know. Goes all mushy. My son's going to be married at the end of September. He and his fiance are totally wrapped with each other. They can't believe what God's done in bringing them together. They just look at each other and it goes mushy, really, which is rather lovely. I won't be cynical and say anything more, but it's a lovely state to be in, and most of us have been there, right? And we try and keep something of that wonder in our relationship. Well, that's what God longs for. It's for that lover-beloved relationship with each of us, with each of you. So what we're doing, contemplation, is time resting in silent worship before God, giving our egos chatter, put it to one side, and we make ourselves vulnerable to the work of the Holy Spirit. So the hound of heaven will catch up with us and we'll be licked to death, not bitten. So thank you all for your time. Thank you for your patience and your forbearance with the noises outside, which must have been tricky. And for those of you who've been in the corridor, I hope you have felt able to be part of it. You at least had the benefit of not perhaps having direct access to the music through the window. I do have, as I say, copies of this. Naomi, how shall we handle that? Yeah. Okay. And any of you who miss out, my email address, I'll give you an easy one. I won't give you the New Zealand one because it's a bit odd. So it's just Sue Pickering, 83, which is my street number. That's why I can remember it, and the year my son was born. So suepickering83@gmail.com. Feel free to email me. I'm happy to have that connection. On the sheet there are references for World Community of Christian Meditation and Centering Prayer, and a couple of Jesuit websites, Sacred Space and Pray As You Go, which you might like to check out, with different formats, MP3 and downloadable iPod thingies. So feel free to enjoy those. I have another session at 6. We'll be looking at Here I Am, which is about the I that we bring to the you, to the encounter in pastoral ministry, particularly with an emphasis on aging, but it's relevant to all of us. And I'll be doing a book signing in the tent at 7 or 7:15. My fourth book on making a personal retreat in the Christian tradition is called On Holiday with God, and it's rather nice. Thank you all.